Before we get started, let's take a few moments to realize how fortunate we are to be in receipt of Lord Buddha's teachings. With immense gratitude, let's take a few moments to worship the Supreme One, the infinitely compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Supreme Buddha. And also, let's make a firm determination and pledge our determination that I will follow the path that the Buddha had placed in front of us. And pledge our allegiance to the Supreme Buddha. To do so, please chant the Namaskara all together and with me.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa.
Last week was an incredible week. Those of you who are mothers and fathers, you probably remember the day that your children were born. And that's a day that you will never forget, because it was at that moment that you realized that you have become a mother or you have become a father. And before a child is born, what do? We get our entire lives ready. We make the place gray, we buy clothes, buy a cradle, buy toys for the coming children, the coming babies. So last week we had witness the birth of 12 young babies. These children are the children of the Sasana. They are children to a mother and father like no other, and extremely fortunate. So last week, for those of you who may not know, we had an ordination ceremony. We had 12 Anagarikas, our most senior Anagarikas, go forth, don robes, and enter monkhood. That is, I always enjoy watching ordination ceremonies, because every time I know, by the end, there are 12 new names I have to memorize. 12 completely new names, which I just find out at that moment. 12 names that I have to memorize. But not only that, I get 12 new siblings, brothers, that I help, that I can help them, and they can help me. You see, the Sasana is always helping another person. It's always, how can I help someone? And they think, how can I help someone else? So, even though they were just born a week ago, they are still what? They are still part of the Mahasangha. So, for those of you who may not know, before they ordain, they spend, I think, a month in, you can say, isolation. It's not isolation, it's that they're separated from the Anagarikas, the rest of the Anagarikas. They wear dyed shirts and sarongs. Dyed the exact same way you dye a robe. So that's them starting, initiating monkhood almost. They are separated and they spend an entire month understanding what it means to become a monk, understanding what they have to do, how they have to help another. So this is when they start practicing their Buddha pujas. This is when they start practicing their sermon skills. So by the end of this month, every single person there is a full, has all the required qualities for them to become a monk. And it is amazing to see how much of a difference they have gone through. So you see a person come into the monastery with hair and a beard, and after a year, a completely different person. A person comes in thinking about how everything's going to help them attain Nibbana. And after the year, now it's no longer, how can people help me? Instead, how can I help them? It's a complete change in the mindset, because monkhood or the ordained life is not about a robe or a bald head. Like they say, the beard doesn't make the philosopher. The robe and a bald head doesn't make the monk. It's a mindset that we have to instill in ourselves. So, you know, some people argue saying, you know, do you need to be ordained to attain Nibbana? The answer is yes. But not this. Not a robe and a bald head. That's not ordination. Ordination is a mindset. Do you have the mindset of an ordained person? Just yesterday, I was talking to my grandmother. After, I think, a year or so, did I actually talk to her. And a point that we started to discuss is, as a monk, I don't decide what I eat. I don't decide where I sleep. So every year or every 6 months, we have something called Kutimuv. And this is where we'll wake up one day and we'll see a sign on the main notice of, say, the Sanghavasa. And it'll say, this person in this kuti, this person in that kuti. And that's when you realize, okay, today we have to move. Now, back then, back in the past, when you had to move, what did you have to bring? You had to order, a moving van, a massive moving van. You had the sofas, the cupboards, the beds. How much more? The kitchen pantry, if you can take those off. The fridge. And the clothes. The wardrobes filled with clothes. Take them all with you, and you move to the other place, and this process takes weeks, months maybe. But when we have these kuti moves, all we do is we pick up our belongings, which is usually some our robes, our alms bowl, maybe some books. And if we have, I don't know, medicine, those. And like very, very small things. And you pick it up, you go, you put it down in the place when the kuti you're supposed to be. You don't know who you're going to be with. It could be with your most favorite monk. Or it could be with someone that you've never talked to before. you move, and that's it. Moving. So I think we're to move in another couple months, I think. Again, I don't know. Because when do I find out? When there's a notice on the board that says, could you move? Until then, who knows? Will you have a kuti that has, I don't know, a very good table? Or will you have a stool? I don't know. Will the curtains be, thick or very thin? I don't know. And I don't care. Because why? My life is in the hands of my teachers. So when my teachers say, move, hey, my Swami answer, where should I move to? Here? Perfect. Okay. How much of your life have you given to your teachers? How much of your lives have you given to your teachers? Do you still have this feeling that, you know, my teachers, I will tell my teachers only parts of my life. And whenever they give me advice, I will only take parts of the advice and do what I can and leave the rest. Or is your lives in the hands of your teachers? So if one day your teacher says, okay, from today onwards, you have to wake up at 8 o'clock. Would you be able to wake up at 8? If your teacher says, no, from today onwards, you have to wake up at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning? That's impossible. Right? That's impossible. 2 in the morning? Who wakes up at 2? Like they say, Yakuga's not going to love. This is when the devils climb trees. We don't wake up at 2. But if a teacher says so, 2. Can you follow? Can you place your lives in the hands of your teachers? If they say from today onwards, right? You shall not. Okay. You shall not. Merit activities in the next 3 weeks is banned. Why? Because I say so. Merit activities. So I answer, look, if I don't do merit activities, who knows what's going to happen? I have to do merit activities. I have to do this. I have to do that. But if the teacher says so, hey, my sign answer. If you say I won't do it for the next 3 weeks, okay. Because this is when you realize where your defilements are. If you feel some sort of resistance, you know, it's a problem there. There is some sort of problem there. That's why I feel some resistance. The more the resistance, the bigger the problem. See, if you think about it, then what is the purpose of these kuti moves? Moving a kuti, what is the purpose? If we only have like very little things, what is the purpose of it? It is entirely for the benefit of who? Everyone. Because why? When you move, if you feel resistance, this kuti is far away. You know, it's like you have to walk another 2 minutes to get to the Dhamma hall. It's too far. Or in this kuti, I'm with this person. I can't be with this person. Or, you know, my teachers are now further away than they used to be. What can I do now? If you feel resistance, that means there is something there. You have formed a sort of attachment to something. There is something stopping you from accepting nature. Accepting nature. Because whether we like it or not, our mind is used to, and the mind will always find somewhere to grow its roots and cling. If you've seen some trees can find a way to grow on rocks. Somehow it can use its roots to cling onto rocks. Even though this rock is not sturdy, trees can grow on that. Just like that, the mind is able to grip onto anything it finds. So if you may think that, you know what, I don't have those sort of defilements. So I answer, if you tell me to move, I'll move. See, you can say that, but only when you move do you realize whether or not you had some sort of attachment, some sort of defilement that's showing resistance. See, do you have, or have you placed the life of your life in the hands of your teachers? From tomorrow onwards, you can no longer wear your patkada, your prayer mat. My patkada? How else can I show everyone that I'm a Sila Shravika? Shravika? Siluvasi, I need the patkada. But if the teacher said, the mind will find ways to cling on to something. If we're not aware, well, it becomes normal. It becomes very normal. I've been wearing it for the last, say, 10 years. Say, you're here for the next 10 years. I've been wearing this patkada for the next 10 years. You won't feel that to be a problem, that I'm attached to this. But if someone was to take it away from you, now, after 10 years, do you realize, I have more to do. I have more to do. You see, having your lives at the hands of your teachers is the most, is the fastest way to Nibbana. Is the fastest way to Nibbana. Why? Because your teachers know. Your teachers have passed you. You know, something that mothers always say, especially, I think it's a singular saying, where, and it's something that my mother would always use, right, is, "Deke panti inna tuna potta rangi naga." Which means, so to translate, stay in year 2 or grade 2 until you get buy the books for year 3 or grade 3. And also, they also say, "Maika pass kalitin." I've already passed you. So that means they know. So mothers usually can, mothers and fathers, of course, can sense, you know, when the child turns. My mother had a third sense. I don't know. I had like a sixth sense. If I turn, she knew, what are you doing? I haven't done anything. There are certain times where, so at my lay home, I was on, so the kitchen's on the ground floor. We had 2 floors, right? And my room was in, like, on top of the kitchen. Sometimes I just hear Amma shout, "Puta, what are you doing?" Because I would be doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, for example, be on my phone or maybe, I don't know, be on bed reading a book when I'm supposed to be doing homework. Amma doesn't have, we don't have cameras, there's nothing there. But Amma would just randomly shout, "Puta, what are you doing?" Because she has that sixth sense. Because why, she's passed me. She's gone past a step, or many steps, many years ahead of me. So she knows. So do your teachers. Your teachers have passed you. See, once you start receiving students, this is when you realize this, the reality of this. The students will come up to you and say, "Teacher, I have this problem. How can I solve this?" Or, for example, you know, we have to do these nyaya discussions. I don't like speaking. Right? I don't like giving nyayas. Teacher, what can I do? And the teacher, in their heads, they have a sort of like moment where they think, ah, I passed that. I also had this problem. And the teacher will tell you exactly how they did it. So I had this problem, right? I used to not like doing this nya discussions. And this is how I got over this. This is how I practiced the path. You do the same. But there's a part of us that thinks, the teacher did it one way, but I'm not my teacher. I'm a completely separate person here. I'm a completely individual person. You practice one way, if I practice your way, that's not going to help me, because why? I'm a separate person here. Is that so? Is there specifically your ignorance and my ignorance, like a separate ignorance here? Like, do you have, like, an ignorance that says more than my ignorance? Or is it just ignorance in general? It's ignorance in general. There's no such thing as your ignorance or my ignorance. It's just ignorance. So if there's one way, a good example would be, you have a headache. Do you have a separate headache? Meaning, it's a headache that is separate from, it's a complete different headache from the history of headaches. That's what we feel. You can't understand my headache. It's too much, I can't bear it. That's why I've known lots of people who, when a doctor prescribes them the most simplest medicine, so you have a headache and something, and the doctor says, oh, take these paracetamols. Take 2 paracetamols every 8 hours, 6 hours. For as long as you need. Then it will become better. And it's such a simple medicine. Why? Paracetamol is a over-the-counter drug. You don't need to be prescribed paracetamol. They get really upset about it. Because why? My headache is more than 2 paracetamols. It can't be cured with just 2 paracetamols. There has to be something more. That's why people like having stronger and stronger painkillers. Why? To feel that, you know, my problem is bad. Because why? My problem is separate. If one day... So... Nowadays, doctors are finding ways to personalize medicine. So, according to your genes, your DNA, doctors are trying to find a way to personalize medicine. That's a very good thing. Because why? You have now separate medicine. My medicine is not your medicine. It's my medicine. And so, it's a separate headache. It's not a headache. It's a my headache. A complete separate headache. So same thing here, but still, by having 2 paracetamols, whether you have your headache or my headache or a headache in general, taking 2 paracetamols usually cures the problem. Same thing with practicing the path. There is no your ignorance or my ignorance, this is ignorance in general. If there was a way to practice the path with one person, by having the same understanding, can't we get rid of us? Of course. That's why a teacher is so important. A teacher is someone who's gone past the point that you've gone past. So they know exactly how they went through it. And by knowing that, what do? They tell you, this is how I got through it. This is how I practiced. And this is how I got over it. Now you do the same. Now you do the same. When you do the same, then what happens? Your defilements also start to reduce. The more you practice, the more it reduces. See, that's why. Is your life in the hands of your teachers? If a teacher says one thing, do you do it or do you do something completely different? I only have a guru hamua, right? A teacher's meeting every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I can't tell the teacher everything. I can't do exactly what they say. Right? It's impossible. Right? Because I only have a teacher's meeting every 2-3 weeks. No. Whenever the teacher tells you something, never look for the ways that you can't do it. So a good example would be, let's say the teacher says, okay, from today onwards, I want you to... So our teachers tell us these things as well. I want you to go to the Buddha shrine and chant the Buddha's qualities for at least 50 minutes a day. Now what comes in our heads is, 50 minutes a day. I know 50 minutes is not enough, but I have to go, I have to travel. Traveling takes 5 minutes. Right, and then before I do that, I have to wash my face, which is gonna take another 5 minutes. So 15, 5, that's 20, 25, half an hour is already gone, and you know it's a lot of work. I can't do that. See, our mind has this tendency to think about reasons why you can't do it. Not think about that one reason why you can. You always think about why you can't. So when the teacher says, you know, do this, try to do this, always look for ways that you can. My teachers have told me, whenever the task is given, do it. When you face difficulties, come and tell the teachers, look, Venerable Sir, I am facing a difficulty here. Again, you are facing a difficulty, and you are telling the teacher you're facing a difficulty. Why? Because you want to do it. However, there is something blocking you. Now the teacher can help do what? Remove that. So for example, if your teacher says, you know, to go and chant the Buddha's qualities for at least 50 minutes in the Buddha shrine room, start it. Try to do it. When you start trying and you find things that mean, say you're given a task which clashes with this. Now you go to the teacher and say, teacher, I'm currently facing this problem. I'm currently facing this issue. I put my time here. However, at the exact same time, I have to do this as well. What should I do? And now the teacher decides. The teacher may say, okay, we may have to change the time. We may have to change the activity. Or we may not have to do the chanting. But that decision is not yours, it's whose? The teacher. Is your life in the hands of your teachers? If yes, your journey to Nibbana will be short. Will be very short. Now we can get this question. Well, how do I know my teacher is always correct? Because we're humans, right? We're all humans. Anyone here not a human here? Humans make mistakes. How do I know my teacher's correct? How do I know my teacher is giving me the advice that I need? How? How do we know that? You can make the teacher say, for example, let's say, we have Devadatta to be your teacher. The Buddha puts Devadatta as your teacher. No, so what is he going to say? You know, when you have your meals, we're going to, let's have a small thing as a horn full of salt, so you can put more salt in our meals. Or, you know, we are going to only, from now on, only eat from one alms bowl. And we're not going to have, from now on, you're not going to have any meat, just with full vegetarians. So this is not what the Buddha has preached. However, if he is your teacher, how do you know your teacher is always correct? How do you know your teacher is always correct? So are we blindly following our teachers? If the teacher says jump off a cliff, will you jump off a cliff? You see, your teachers are isn't, see, your teachers aren't people here, are they? Well, they are, but they're not. A teacher is a quality that a person can have. Now, according to who does a teacher arrive? So, the quote goes, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Not when the teacher is there, does the student like appear from somewhere. It's not like that when you want to be a teacher, do students all appear in front of you. No, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So depending on the student, the teacher will be different. Because a teacher is your own what? Your own vipaka. Your teacher is your own vipaka. So if your teacher tells you to do something, that is from who? Your own vipaka. You're the vipaka that you've done. So if the teacher says, if your teacher comes up to you and says, you know, from today onwards, wake up at 5 o'clock. That's not because of what? Your teacher is a bad person. Your teacher is now telling you to wake up at 5 o'clock. Ani, I can't wake up at 5 o'clock. I have to wake up at 6. No, no, no. It's because of your vipaka. Does the teacher give you such advice? So if you think about this, imagine back in the time of the Buddha, the Venerable Sariputta was a student of Devadatta. Imagine. What sort of vipaka do you think Sariputta Maharatha Nansi will draw from his teacher? Bad advice? No, according to who? According to his karma or his vipaka, will he get the advice? So your teachers are giving you advice that you deserve. That's the thing. In your heads, you should always have, may through the power of my merits, may I have the perfect teacher. May I have the perfect teacher? Because the teacher, if your merit power becomes so strong, either your teacher will have to change to become better, or the teacher, him or herself, will have to change in general. A different teacher has to replace. Because of what? Your merits. So if you do so much merits, who knows? You can have Guru Hanur to be who? Your teacher. According to what? According to your merits. However, if you have such a great person to be your teacher, well, that means what has to happen here as well. It's like going into like a 9-star hotel to stay a week. Right. How much money do you think it costs to stay in a very, very expensive hotel? And you're in a hotel means you're on holiday, which means you're not working. If you're not working, how much money do you have to have in your bank to support that? Same thing here. To have such a great person, you should have a very strong financial basis. Meaning what? You have to have a very strong merits power to be able to do as to collect as much merits. Therefore, you get great teachers. So your teachers are your vipaka, and your vipaka is drawn from what? Your teacher. Now, if you were to say that, okay, my teacher is X, but Y comes along. Y comes along and tells you something. Now who's the teacher? So your teacher is officially X. But Y comes along and says something. And gives you advice. Who's teacher now? Y. I'll give you a great example. The other day, I had the fortune of looking after our noble heart children. Now, Nobuhar's children are very old, right? They're in their 30s, 40s, right? They're in their 30s, 40s, and they're very old, very experienced, very knowledgeable. No, we're talking about 7, 8, 9s, no, 6, 7 to 13 small children. Can't they give good advice? No, they can't, because why? They're children. They don't have enough knowledge. They don't have enough experience. Like, they don't, like, I can't go to this child and asking them about, say, issues I'm facing with my job, because they don't have the knowledge or the experience, so they can't give good advice, can they? They can't, right? You should go, if you ever find the chance, right, and if you ever get half an hour with some of these children, ask them to give you some advice. The other day, I was able, when I went to look after these Nobuhar's children for a day. I just heard a discussion between two of these children. Right? One of them had made a mistake, had done something wrong. Right? So what does the other child do? No. They sit down, they sat down on the bed, and they were talking. Now, they were facing one way, I was coming from the back, so I saw this, they didn't see me. And I stopped and I started listening. And the child was saying, why did you do this? Wasn't it because of your vexation? And I think I stood there for, 10, 15 minutes, listening to a sermon. A sermon done by, I think it's a 9, 10-year-old. A sermon by a 9, 10-year-old. And I'm sitting thinking, wow, I never thought of that. Why? Because am I the only one who can think about the Dhamma? Can't this child think about the Dhamma? And I think after the first 8 minutes, right, like, and the child is like, you know, there's no me, right? Because that's a feeling. It's a feeling of self. And then I'm looking at this thinking, preach. Okay. Because why? Whose vipak is that? Whose vipak is that? Two children are talking, right? They're giving a sermon to each other. I get to hear. Whose vipak is that? Their vipak, right? No, that's my vipaka. At that moment, these two children become what? My teachers. However, the next moment, if they start running and start shouting, well, then I become the teacher. I become the teacher and say, look, sit down. You're not supposed to be shouting here. This is meditation time, or this is time to tidy up the dorm area. Not for playing. Now I become the teacher. Initially, I think I got to hear a small discussion by, I'm going to say 7 or 8. Very small. Right? And in this discussion, this child says, you see that tree there? So I got to hear a recording. So the person who was listening says, yeah, I can see that tree there. And you see the distance between you and the tree? That's also a perception. I remember after hearing this, I sat down. I think I sat down for the next 15 minutes thinking about what the child said. Can't I? The distance between you and the tree, the feeling that this tree is X meters far away from you, is also what? A perception. It's a feeling. So, again, whose vipaka was that? See, when you're in an environment where everyone is helping each other, everyone is going in the same direction, now your teacher is not a singularity. It's not a single person. It's everyone. Something that my teacher always tells me is, whenever we have our teacher's meeting, at this moment, I'm the teacher. And I'll tell you what you have to do, and if you made a mistake, how to get over it and whatnot. But the moment we get up, who's teacher now? Whenever you see my mistake, you have to come and tell me. Whenever you see something that I've done wrong, please come and tell me. Whenever you think that I don't understand something, please come and tell me. Because this teacher-student relationship isn't one way. So technically, to your teachers, can't you be a teacher as well? To your teachers, can't you be a teacher as well? That's your duty. Whenever the teacher doesn't understand something, you should be there to say, sorry, Nanza, like, I think this is like this. Or if you see your teacher do something wrong, you have to go and say, teacher, I think you did something wrong here. Again, do it with the utmost respect, right? With the most respect that you can possibly do. But at that moment, you become the teacher. You become the teacher. See, you see, we have to understand that I can only talk about this environment. The moment you step outside the gate, are they all your teachers? Whether you like it or not, they do become teachers. Why? Because they're going to teach you what? You know, this chocolate cake, tasty. You know, eating, eating this sort of food is very healthy. And that's also a teacher. You know, Gotukola is a very, very healthy leaf, a plant. Someone tells you that. They are also what? A teacher. Can you decide whether it's a good or bad teacher? When information comes to you, right, when different people are giving you different information, can you separate it and say, these are all good information, these are all bad information? Are you able to separate that? Yes, because if someone says to hurt someone, that's a bad thing. But if someone says to help someone, it's a good thing. So we should be able to separate, right? However, no. The ability to separate good and bad information or good and bad views is a view itself. So for example, we've been taught, so in the beginning of our journey, we're always taught that, you know, hurting other people is bad, stealing is bad, lying is bad. That itself is a view, and therefore if any other view comes out to oppose this, we're very quick to say that's bad, and we don't accept. However, that view runs through what? It runs through your mind. Do you ever, except in sermons, do you ever think that what you are thinking is wrong? Do you ever think what you are thinking is wrong? Normally, ask a normal person, do you think what you were thinking is wrong? Do you think the actions that you're doing right now is wrong? They'll always say, no. What I'm thinking right now is always correct. What I'm doing right now is always correct. At the moment you're doing it, it is the best thing you think you can do. Only afterwards do you start regretting. So, for example, you shout at someone. At that moment, you feel that's the best thing you can do. But afterwards, you regret thinking, that was wrong of me, I should have done that, I should have said that, I should have behaved in that sort of way. That's only after. But at that moment, that was the best thing you can do. You never think that what I'm thinking is wrong. So when a view comes in and it goes through the mind will never think what it's thinking is wrong unless it has a view. So when someone has the view that doing the 10 unwholesome deeds is bad, now you have one sort of shield. When you see that, say, helping another person is good and you already have that view, you're now accepting it. But no matter what, unless you have very, very strong views, unless you have very, very strongly placed views, the more something goes through your mind, the more you accept it. For example, the best way I can explain this is, why do you think ads are repetitive? Why do you think ads will repeat? So hopefully none of you spend too much time, say on YouTube or watching TV, right? Hopefully. I do have this idea that none of you do. But if you remember back when you did, you'll see the same ad come over and over again. So for example, YouTube, the ads will pop up every so often. Some ads are extremely, extremely stupid. I remember, I can't remember what it was called or anything, but I remember I think it was on YouTube, there was an ad that I would always play about a game, someone playing a game. Something that you always notice is, no matter the game, it ends off with the player winning. No. It ends off with the player losing. So, for example, it's just a very simple game. I can't remember what the game was. So, it was like getting from place A to place B. Right? And all you have to do is find out which number is greater than the other. So, which number is greater? Which number is greater? This one. So the game is basically choosing the large number, and when you choose a large number, different things happen. However, in this game, right, in this ad, what they'll do is they'll choose the large number until they make the most silliest and the most, you can say, the most stupid mistake, and they'll choose the low number. What does that make us feel? You should have chosen that one. And that's one view. Then what do? They show you the same ad over and over and over again over a period of time. And then what do you feel? I can do this. Like, such a simple game. Let me. And now you click on the link, and now you are absorbed into a wormhole. Now you find yourself playing this 24/7 a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or sometimes if you see the same image over and over again, you have a tendency to click. So for example, again, let's take an example using social media. YouTube has, I hope everyone's been to YouTube, right? You all know, you have a homepage and you have several thumbnails. Yeah. Sometimes there'll be one thumbnail that you see constantly. No matter what video, it will always be somewhere in the corner. Why? Because what's that? That's also what? A drishti, a view. I've seen that before. Where did I see this before? I don't know. Click. Because whenever something goes through the mind, whenever the mind arises, because of ignorance, what do you feel? It's correct. It's always correct. It has to be correct. Because why? Because that's how it is. Because that's my mind. My mind can't be wrong, can it? My mind has to be correct. But that's not how it works. That's never how it works. Instead, we are unable to determine whether something is good and whether something is bad. That's why changing your environment is key. Having a very good environment is key. Now, if you're in an environment, say for example, these 12 new monks are in an environment where they're constantly being given what? Views that help them progress. Views that help them go one step further. Views that help them progress further on their journey to Nibbana. Not stopping them or not giving them a wrong view. See, we can't determine that. We can't say that, you know, I'm going to do this. However, I'm only going to be taking the good views. You can't determine that. You can't determine that. Because why? Good and bad is always what? Good and bad is what? Dependent. Okay. When you meet someone new, right, what do you normally do? In the monastery, what do you normally do? You put your hands together and say, Teruvan Saranai. Outside the gate, what do you do? You probably give them a handshake or wave and say hi. Let's say instead of in Mars, right? Whenever we colonize Mars, right? These Martians, right? Who knows? The way they greet themselves is by, you know, giving the other person a slap. That's how they greet another person, it's a slap. Now, when we go there and we receive this use, what do we do now? We slap. Is that good or bad? Is that good or bad? You see, it's dependent on where you are. What you do is dependent on where you are. For example, when you're in a temple, it's normal to wear white. But if you wear just full white in a party, is that normal? Is that good? No, of course not. Because depending on where you are, the difference, you have to... Good and bad will change. From country to country, good and bad will change. For example, in Sri Lanka, right? The horn is a major part of the car. It's a key essential part of the car, right? To thank you horn, to call you horn, to shout you horn. But say in the UK, the horn is used just to warn the other person you're coming too close. To thank, they use the, what do you call it, the flash, the you know, you can flash the lights. They flash the light. That's how they thank. So if you were to horn in the UK for thanking someone, they'll come knocking on your window saying, excuse me, I didn't do something wrong. And if you flash in Sri Lanka, I don't know what they do. So again, good and bad is always dependent on society. Good and bad is always dependent on society. That's why the environment is always key. Because when you're in an environment where you are surrounded by people who, you know, are only there to help you, now, good and bad is still dependent, but this good is trying to make you better. And this bad, well, it's trying to stop you from doing bad. That's the thing. Our environment is very key. So again, is your lives in the hands of your teachers? Is your lives in the hands of your teachers? If yes, your journey will be short. If no, well, you have another couple thousands of eons. Until when? Either you find the Buddha, or you find a teacher, or you become your own teacher. What I mean is, you understand the Dhamma by yourself, meaning you become what? The Sammasambuddha, or a Paccheka Buddha. Until then, you can not follow a teacher, be your own teacher. But if you want to speed this journey, to find the shortest way out, because I don't know about you, I don't want a long journey. I don't want a long journey. I want the shortest way out. I don't want to stay for long. Do you? You know, another 100 lives in samsara would be okay? Is that what you're thinking? No. This is the last one. No more for me. So, I want the shortest way out. And I hope all of you feel the same way too. It's the shortest way out. So, if that means I have to put my life in the hands of my teachers, so be it. Venerable sir, what do you want me to do? Do this? Anyway, of course, I'll do it, 100%. Now give it my 100% effort. Because why? I want this to stop. I want my journey to end here, now. I don't want any more. I don't want to stay for long. See, do you continuously motivate yourself to do more? So, for example, last Monday was what? Foyer. Were you able to ask yourselves, what more can I do? What more can I do for my liberation? What more can I do? Can I do something extra? What more can I do? And don't worry, I've not forgotten I gave you a task last time. What was the task? It was not tell the secret, right? Don't tell the secret. Remember? See, become a Kalyan Mitra to others. Tell others. Tell everyone. Whenever you see someone, make sure you help them in some sort of way. So last time, so this is 2 weeks back, we talked about the secret. The secret of the gift of giving. I'm not going to explain this again. But I gave everyone a task to make sure you don't tell it to one other person. No, the task was to give to show the gift of giving to at least another person. And tell them to explain to another. Still, no one has told me. So I'm guessing it's still en route. But make sure you do. So coming back to what we're talking about is, did you think about how you can improve your journey? Because only once you help another person, do people start helping you. Because what you give is what you get. And don't worry, there'll be some days, some weeks maybe some months, where you feel that, you know, this week, I haven't done much. Today I didn't practice much. And I should have practiced. I should have done this. I should have done that. However, I wasn't able to. I should have helped. I should have gone to the Value Modula to do 40 hours. Or how many hours you're supposed to do now. Right? I should have, I had a teacher's meeting, but I forgot about it. Because our journey to Nibbana isn't always a straight, complete, only one way, one direction forward. There'll be days where you sidetrack. Because why? That is the human mind. And what happens is we become really guilty. We become very guilty and we think, I was at the monastery and I missed my Guru Hamur, my teacher's meeting. I was, instead of practicing, I went and talked to another person about something I should be talking about. You know, I was very curious and I know someone had told me about this new TV show that came out and I just wanted to see one episode. So sometimes your path will sidetrack. When you sidetrack, or sometimes you'll sit down in the Valley Moluva, right? Sit down trying to meditate and you find yourself not practicing. No matter how hard you try, nothing. You're now distracted. Your mind is wandering here, wandering there. Yesterday you sat down and you're contemplating very well. Today you can't. Those days will happen. What should you do when you have these sort of days? Realize what? That the mind is what? Anicca. Put your hand up if you can control your minds. Put your hand up if you can control your minds. Whatever you think you can control. Can you? Give me the answer to this. 5, right? It's because we all went to school and so we know that 2 plus 3 is 5. Because I thought that, right? That came from my mind. I did the mathematical equations in my mind, therefore I got the answer. Correct? If so, have you all seen, have you seen pink elephants? Have you seen pink elephants? Any one of you have seen a pink elephant? However, every time I say pink elephant, what's in your head? Okay, then don't think about it. Because these pink elephants, they don't exist as far as I know. I've never seen a pink elephant. I don't think any of you have either. If that is true, don't think about pink elephants. Stop it. No. Stop. Stop thinking about pink elephants. They don't exist. Can you? No, because what is the mind? The mind is under my control. So you have I, and then you have the mind, right? Right? You have I, and then you have the mind as a separate thing. And I uses the mind to think. You see, we fall into these traps day in, day out. I am not the one who is thinking. Thinking happens. You see, when you see 2 plus 3, can you not think of the answer 5? Can you not think of the answer 5? Okay, just give an even simpler one. What is 1 plus 1? Can you not think of the answer 2? Stop. The answer is not 2. Stop thinking of 2. But whenever you see 1 plus 1, what's the answer that comes to your head? 2. But when you ask little children what 1 plus 1 is, they say, well, some of them will say, it's a window. No? 1 plus 1 is not a window, is it? Because what happens is, when they see this, they're looking in their minds. Their minds are, they're not looking in their minds. The idea arises that this is a window. See? 1 plus 1 equals window. So when a little child says he's 1 plus 1, they think of windows. Is it because they control it? How did I think of window? Because I have seen this before. 1 plus 1 is a window. So the thing is, we need to understand that our mind isn't under our control. Instead, it's entirely to do with the environment. According to the causes, the mind will arise. So there'll be days where you sit down and you're trying to contemplate, but contemplating doesn't happen. See, contemplating doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen? Environment or the causes aren't there. So what should you be thinking about? That. Contemplation isn't happening because of what? The causes aren't there. In this entire week, I wasn't focused. I wasn't mindfully aware about my. And I wasn't able to practice the path. At that moment, what should you think? Of course, that is what's supposed to happen. Because why? The mind is what? All cause and effect. Do I control that? Do I control the amount of contemplation that happens? Okay, if I was to say, from the next 3-4 hours, we're going to stay here and we're going to meditate. Out of the 4 hours, how many seconds do you think you'll be truly contemplating? Can you control that? Do you have the ability to control that? But what a waste of 3 hours, right? 3-4 hours. No, because why? The mind is what? When the causes come together, the mind arises. All you can do is try to put the causes together. That's why it's not a waste. Because why? You're trying to put the causes together. You're trying to put the causes together. If the causes come together, the effect will manifest. If not, what we must do is we have to understand. We have to truly understand and realize that the mind itself is cause and effect. Okay. I have a small task for all of you that we're going to do now. Right? Does everyone know this shape? What shape is this? Anyone here not know what triangle is? This is a triangle. I'm going to put a few pictures on the board, and I want you to count how many triangles there are. Okay? No, not on the board, on the screen. I want you to count how many triangles there are. Right? The one who gets the right answer, I'll give them this. It's your prize. Can we have the first, how many triangles do you see? Very simple question. Anyone got an answer? We got 10, we got 16, we got 18. Any answers? Huh? No? There's triangles there. You know, there's three lines, when they come like this, that's a triangle. How many? We got 16. Any more than 16? We got any more than 16? How many? 18. I think there's only 16 triangles here. 16. All right, next one. How many triangles? How many? 17, 19, how many? 18, 12, at the back? 22. As far as I remember, I think it was 18, 19, 19. I think it was. All right, next one. How many triangles can you see? See, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many triangles? There is not a single triangle there. However, can't you see two triangles? Oh, two triangles. And if you see two triangles, you can see more triangles. Why is that? But why do you still see triangles though? These shapes are in a random configuration. As in, okay, they are placed in a certain way, but why do those shapes make a triangle? I mean, the three Pac-Man shaped circles are in that way. Why do you see a triangle? Why do you see a triangle? Well, the three greater than less than symbols, or the crocodiles, let's say. In this way, they're not even connected, but yeah, you see what? A triangle. Where is that from? Do you realize that these triangles is just a feeling? Like, can we go back? One back? Like, you can say, okay, these are three lines together, and that makes a triangle, and you can logically come to a conclusion, right? And you can argue, if we say three lines is triangle, now we have 19 triangles here. But back to the other one. Back to the other one. But when you look at this, can you argue and say that there are triangles here? But don't you feel these triangles? Don't you feel that there are two triangles there? One of them is a line triangle and one of them is a white triangle. But this is because the mind is a machine to feel. When the causes align together, it feels what? That this is the shape that is there. However, because of ignorance, because of jati, because of jati, what does it do? It comes and says there are two triangles here. There are two triangles. There has to be two triangles. Or else why are these shapes in this sort of way? And it comes to this idea that there are triangles here. But are there triangles? No, it's a mental perception. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that the mind feels. So if we were to change this a bit, my drawing is terrible, don't worry. Can you all see a square? Can you all see a square? Oh, it's more a rectangle. Well, technically, it's a trapezium. But if we imagine my drawing was perfect. We live in a perfect world. My drawing is perfect. Don't you see a square? Don't you see a square? Do you see squares? Are you seeing a square? You are feeling a square. You are perceiving a square. There is not. You can't see So if I was even show you the sleeve, are you seeing a leaf here? This is exactly like this. Exactly, there's no difference. Right? This is exactly this. Okay. Let's change this one more time. What shape is this? I can't see from your angle, but my angle, what shape is this? Okay, a house, or in other words, in a more mathematical term, and the schools, gone, children. It's a pentagon. It's a pentagon. Is it a pentagon though? Is there a pentagon here? No, there are just five random lines, not even connected, but yet you feel what? A pentagon, or a house. A house. Okay, but if I was to make the connection now, does it make it a pentagon? Does it make it a pentagon now? Because now the lines are connected, that means that's a pentagon there. Right? Right? So we're seeing pentagons here. Can you go to the first one? The first one's a bit better. We're seeing triangles, right? Right? We're seeing triangles? Huh? So you're seeing lines? You are feeling, perceiving triangles. This is what? This is? Well, if you want to take it as lines, yes, you can say it to be lines. But even that is also a perception. It is actually very crazy to think about it like this. This TV is blank. Is it not? The TV, there's nothing on the TV. But the only thing is, the causes are changing in some sort of way that makes you perceive what? Triangles. See, how many triangles? Is that written on the screen? Is that written on the screen? If you look at it in both aspects, they've actually removed those letters. But you feel as though it's been written or it's been printed. But these, in the green shape, they have taken out these letters. But you think they've placed letters on there. Because why? Again, it's a mental perception. It's a feeling that you have. You are feeling that there's what? Triangles here. You are feeling that on the third picture that there's triangles. Two triangles. Two very nice triangles. But are there? You see this and you say that this is what? I'm seeing a what? I'm seeing a leaf. But are you seeing a leaf here? Now, this is not saying, like, please don't get me wrong, and this is not saying that this, there's nothing here. There is something here. What's here? Causes. Arrangement of causes. So, if we take it in a way that we can all understand, there are atoms here. There are some sort of arrangement of atoms. Arrangement of, even better, arrangement of energy here. That arrangement of energy is giving rise to this feeling of what? Leaf. So who won the contest? The winners get a leaf. We've got one winner here. First place. Are you receiving a leaf? Or do you feel that you're receiving a leaf? A perception. But yet, we feel, because of jati, we project this feeling onto this and we say that, no, this is fixed. This is a leaf. This is what I want. I must have this leaf. This is my leaf. that's all happens because why? You now what? You don't feel a leaf. Instead, you see a leaf. You're seeing which leaf? This leaf. Are we all seeing the same leaf? So are we all seeing some different things here? Can everyone see this leaf? Anyone not see this leaf? Okay. Everyone who's facing me and has their eyes here can see a leaf, right? So we're all seeing this leaf. We're all seeing this leaf. Exactly. That's what I said. Right? We aren't always, we're not seeing this leaf here. If we're seeing this leaf, some part of this leaf has to come and hit you. Or go through your eyes. They don't come and hit you, don't worry. Something has to go to you. What part of this leaf goes to you? What part of this leaf actually goes to you? The veins, you know, the cell wall, the middle lamella. What part? The calcium here comes to you, right? By looking at it, calcium ions, they come and hit your eyes, right? So you're seeing this because of calcium. Is that how it works? Then what part of this leaf are you seeing? What part of the leaf are you seeing? Again, let's see my drawing skills. Okay. So we're saying that light hits this? Is that what we're saying? And it bounces off and that hits your eyes. Is that what we're saying? Yeah, we're saying that the light bounces off and hits your eyes. So the light changes because of the leaf, right? So in school we learn that these all absorb light and reflect the light that it's not absorbing. So the light comes from the leaf, right? The light is turning green because of the leaf, right? Because of the leaf. Then white light, right? It goes inside and reflected off is green light. Then? I'm confused. Help me here. I'm confused. So you're telling me I'm not seeing a leaf here? There's nothing. Like what's coming off of this? White light comes and green light comes out? So the light becomes green? Or the light is green? What? No. You see, every moment what we have to realize is what is truly happening. The causes, because in schools, right, in the beginning we learn that light, white light comes in, right, and green light is reflected. What really happens is not that. What really happens is white light comes and everything is absorbed, right, in this. You see, you have to be very careful because the mind is always, always searching a place to just cling on to. Because here we're talking about a place where, we're talking about that there is no place here, no singularity here, no fixed item here. However, the mind can't accept that. Or an ignorance-based mind cannot accept that. Instead, it has to have something. I have to have something. And so the mind will cling on to anything. So the light is absorbed in the leaf? No. See? But then the question arises. Sorry, nonsense. I don't know science. You know, I did this, I did art instead. Right? I've never learned science. Can I attain Nibbana? No, you have to understand that light is reflected, and you have to understand that this is a photon, right? That's going at a frequency of this, that light is going, that gravity is 9.81 meters per second. You have to learn all this, right, to attain Nibbana. See, this is where people get very, very, people can fool themselves, thinking that, no, this is all science. I must need science for all this. You don't need science. What is this actually explaining is very simple. What is it? The causes are coming together and effect is manifesting. That's all we're trying to say here. But we're using nice, beautiful pictures and lines and using science to explain the simplest thing. What? Look, if you think about this, a 7-year-old has not learned that. But yeah, a 7-year-old can attain Nibbana. How does that work? How does that work? They don't know. They don't know about atoms. They don't know about bonding. They don't know about sound. They don't know about light. But yet they contain Nibbana. Well, Sunil Sobhaka were scientists. Well, they're scientists. No, they were simply young, vulnerable children. One of them were tied onto a dead body. The other one was, you can almost say, a street cleaner. But yet they what? Are you able to understand this? Do they understand this? So if you went to one of them, say an arahant 7-year-old, and you say, you know, Sainan said, I understand. But light hits this, and then this becomes that, this becomes this. This 7-year-old will be looking, Is that how it works? I don't know. Light hits, is that? But what they do understand is what? Causes come together to create what? An effect. So they know that this is what? This is what? A feeling in the mind. They know that. Now, a lot of people, after talking to lots of people, people have this idea that, you know, when we talk about feeling, that there's nothing here. Again, I'm trying to show you that there is something here. But the thing that is here is not what you feel. But don't use that to find something fixed. So I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, you know, everyone says that there's nothing here, it's just a feeling. But there has to be something there, right? So I said, yeah, there is some arrangement of causes here. See, that's what I said. There has to be something there. That, you know, if because of that, are we seeing? Because why? Even then, they want to find a fixed place to attach themselves onto. Because ignorance, a drowning man will clutch at a straw. When you're drowning, Jati will clutch at a straw. At the very most simplest thing, you'll clutch onto and say, no, it's fixed. It has to be fixed. Please. Please keep it fixed. Because why? It wants to find that place to attack, to keep itself. What we have to do is we have to shatter all that. We have to realize that what? When the causes come together, do we have a manifestation? So when the white light hits and it becomes green light, it's not that it becomes green light. When the causes come together, there's a manifestation. It hits the eyes and it goes through the rods and cones and da 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 da. Again, what we're supposed to realize is when the causes come together, we have a manifestation. So you shouldn't be going around thinking there is no leaf, there is no pen, there is no mic, there's no... Well, you can say there's no skeleton here, there's no elephant here, there's no monkey here. Same thing, isn't it? What we have to do is explain to our mind, to show our mind what is truly there. Not that there's no leaf. Instead, what? There's an arrangement of causes that give rise to what? The feeling of a leaf. That there is no... The feeling that you have isn't this. So when I asked you, are you all seeing the same leaf here? Are you seeing the same leaf here? Well, you can't be. Because this leaf, arrangement of causes, of course, is here. 100%. But the light and the causes, you see, your own eyes can deceive you. Can't they? Can they not? Your own eyes can deceive you. For example, very common, especially with a large group of people, you're walking around and someone's turned their back to you, right? You think it's someone else. You perceive it to be someone else. And then when you go close to them, you realize, oh, it's someone completely different. So this happened the other day with these children. So it was on a Sunday, the Sunday after the ordination ceremony. They were all in their dorm waiting. They're having their programs and whatnot. And suddenly, they get a message. Nikon's coming, Nikon's coming. Amar, there's a Nikon's coming. They get a message. So what do they do? Now they're preparing the seeds, but they're getting water and all this, right? See, when he's coming, they don't know. They just know he's coming. So they clean the dorm, they make everything look nice and presentable. And then they're waiting. 1 hour had gone by. No. 2 hours have gone by. No. 3 hours gone by. Still no. Now it's almost their bedtime. But they're, you know, are we going to stay awake to see what? Because we have Nikon's coming. We have to, you know, prepare the area and whatnot. And then they see a figure coming towards them, right? Coming towards the dorm area, right? Tall, light-skinned, right? With glasses on. And then everyone got excited. Okay, Nikon's finally coming, right? And they're putting the power down. They're putting the carpets and all this. When the monk goes by, they find out it's not Nikandru. Instead, it's Maitrihandru. They're like, ah, why is Nikandru? And we tried to find out where this message came from, and the message was a mistaken communication. But they saw who? Nikon was proceeding. Nikon was coming. And so they were preparing themselves. But in the end, was it? It wasn't. It wasn't. But the mind will perceive. So if the message wasn't there, maybe they may not have seen Nikon come. Maybe they may have seen Maitrihandru come. But when they had the message, now their mind is perceiving what? Their mind is perceiving what? The perception, the feeling, they feel. Is it wrong to feel? It's not wrong to feel. What is wrong? That you think the feeling is here. This is the feeling. So, that's the thing. Well, we have to realize that when the causes come together, there's a manifestation. Is the manifestation always correct? No? How can you say the manifestation is wrong or right? A manifestation is just what? A manifestation. Causes come together and it gives you an elephant. Causes come together and gives you a monkey. Which one's right and which one's wrong? Causes come together and gives you a black pen. Causes come together and gives and manifests a blue pen. Which one's right and which one's wrong? You can't say that. The question is wrong. The causes come together. to create a manifestation. And a lot of people, what happens is on our just journey, we have this feeling that being angry is wrong. So when I become angry, I have to be very embarrassed about it. Why did I become angry? Why did I say this? Why did I say that? Anger itself is what? A manifestation. So we shouldn't be sad or embarrassed or guilty about it. Instead, we should see it as what? A manifestation. Causes came together at that moment to create the effect that we call anger. Of course, the anger is rooted in ignorance. Therefore, that's why it's wrong. Because why? It's created by a mirage. A feeling that this was supposed to happen, but it's not going to happen. But the feeling of disappointment is perfect. Because why? The causes came together in that way. Because no right or wrong here. That is what is supposed to happen in that moment. Unfortunately, anger, disappointment, stress is all rooted in what? Ignorance. It's all rooted in a lie. That's why it's wrong. Not that being angry is wrong. A lot of minds have this feeling that when the mind is feeling angry or upset, it has to hide it from others. I have to make sure no one realizes I'm angry. So you see a person and you're fuming, but you try to hide it. Because why? If someone sees I'm angry, then they'll think that I'm not practicing the path. And they'll think that, I'm not practicing. But don't you think if someone saw you angry, it's a good thing? Because why? What will they do now? You're angry? Let me tell everyone. Is that what they do? In the monastery, is that what they do? You got angry? Will they spread the word saying that, this Mahatmi got angry today? This Anagarika Mahatma got angry today and he was furious. No, what will happen is they will come and say, Mahatmi, what's what happened? And they'll help you solve your issue. I was told of a very great quality of the Sila Shravakas and Sila Shravikas. Don't ask me where I got this from, right? My sources are secret. But I was told that whenever they see someone who looks upset, or if they see someone who looks upset, at least 5 to 10 of them, people will go and ask, what is wrong? And they'll try to help them solve their problem. If they look angry, they'll go and ask, are you angry? Why are you angry? To solve their issue. Not just one. One is okay. But at least 5 to 10 of them would do that. Because why? Each and every one of them are trying to do what? Trying to get rid of the other person's ignorance. That's the thing. If you get angry, okay, in the environment, in a safe environment, understand that this is anger. That this is not an, this is, okay, when I say it's not an enemy, it is an enemy. Right? See, this is talking about two different layers here. Understand each layer individually. It's not that it's not the enemy, but it is not the enemy, but it is the enemy. It is the enemy because it's rooted in ignorance, but it's not the enemy because why? It's a manifestation. It's perfect. It's perfect the way it is. The causes come together to give rise to the effect, which is anger, which is sadness, which is grief, which is frustration, which is stress. That's okay. Understand that this is how it arose. That it came from ignorance. Now what? Now you have the cause. You have the main cause, which is ignorance. Now what? Get rid of ignorance. That's why they say to wear your emotions on your sleeves. Unfortunately, we don't have sleeves, so we wear it on our robes. Right? To wear it on your sleeves, meaning what? Other people can see. Because when you are isolated and alone, you are your own savior. But when you wear your emotions on your sleeves and you're with among the greatest people to ever exist, now what? Now all they do, they'll help you do what? They'll help you get out of it. Something that I know is very, because we have this view, being angry, being upset is bad, is wrong. So when someone comes up and says, hey, I've seen this happen over and over again. Like, they go up to a person and ask, are you vexed? Pelenode. The person immediately thinks, ha ha ha, no, I am not vexed. I'm not suffering. Why are you asking me this? And they are angry now. They're angry because why? Someone asked, are you vexed? Like some people, they have this feeling that, you know, if someone asked, are you contemplating? What are they trying to do? They're trying to give you a trigger for you to start contemplating. But instead, you think, are you contemplating? So are you thinking I'm not contemplating? Huh? Are you saying I'm not contemplating here? I am contemplating. And you become angry because why? You think that these are all bad things. Being angry is bad, not contemplating is bad. But what you have to realize, these are all manifestations. Causes come together to give rise to this manifestation. So what? When you're surrounded by doctors, and that's why they say usually it's not good to have a doctor to be your friend, like a medical doctor. Because why? Whenever you have something, I have this cough, I have this headache, like what should I do? And they'll say, hey, just take the paracetamol like normal. But if you have a doctor, what do you do normally? Whenever you feel some sort of symptoms, the first person on speed dial is who? The doctor. My leg is hurting. It's normal. But you pick up the phone and you call. Why? Whenever you have a symptom, you tell the doctor, just in case. That's why having doctors, like medical doctors as a friend, is not always a good thing. And that's why normally medical doctors are not allowed to treat their own children. Because why? They add their love extra as well. 2 paracetamols? No, 2.5 paracetamols. So, if you're surrounded by doctors, what should you do? Hide your symptoms, right? No, I don't have a headache. I don't have a headache at all, right? You're right next to the toilet. I'm perfectly fine. If you're surrounded by doctors, you would be a fool not to use it. You would be a fool not to use it to hide your symptoms. I remember, I think it's a normal thing that lots of people do. But I know this because I've had lots of people tell me this. Normally when you go to the doctors, your symptoms somehow disappears. Right? You have a headache, you go to the doctors, the headache is gone. And I don't know, you for some reason, whenever you meet a doctor, their presence itself is a medicine. So what people have told me to do is whenever you go to the doctors, make sure your symptoms sound way worse than they actually are. For example, I don't know about Sri Lanka, but especially in other countries, when doctors prescribe antibiotics, you have to be near death. You have to be like gasping, right? Like almost near death for someone to prescribe antibiotics because it can cause various problems. So what do people say? To put your symptoms as though it's gonna kill you. You're sneezing. You know, I've been sneezing, doctor, for the last 12 hours continuously. Not a single breath in between. Yes, of course. That is bad because the doctors won't know what is true and what is not. But in the aspect of the hospital here, exaggerating your symptoms, is that a bad thing? you get free medicine. You only go angry once. You go to your teacher and say, teacher, I'm always angry. Help me out here. So is that a bad thing now? You see, the aim here is to get rid of ignorance and to become an arahant exclusively for aspirants of Nibbana. That's our motto. That's our slogan, exclusively for aspirants for Nibbana. What happens if you start acting like arahants? What happens if you start acting like arahants? So, again, take everything here with a pinch of salt, because there'll be times where you have to. And there'll be times where, especially in front of your teachers, never act like an arahant. Act as though you have no idea about Dhamma. You've done nothing. Because why? What is your teacher there to do? To give you the maximum amount of help. So in front of your teachers, don't act like arahants. In front of your noble companions, don't act like arahants. Because if they think you're not angry. Okay, let's say tomorrow, one of our monks. Dorongan Dhammaji Mahadru is giving a sermon for all those who are angry. All those who feel anger. Right? To show you the solution for that. Right? Say he's doing that. And so it's a invitee only. If you act like an arahant, would you ever be invited? Even though you are angry, would they invite you? No, because why? I asked them, do they get angry? They say no. They haven't got angry for the last 3 years. So what's the point of them going? Isn't it better to get to put someone else there? In front of your noble association, be who you are. But in front of people that, you know, you want to help, be who now? Be the best you possibly can be. That's why we have to be very, very, you know, conscious about this. If you pretend to be someone, you are hiding the chances, or you're hindering the chances for other people to help you. In front of your teacher, in front of your noble associations, be who you are. Because now your noble associations can help you. Your teachers can help you get out of it. If they don't know, then you are your only savior. Because whether you're the teacher, whether you're a student, whether you're a monk, an anagarika, anagarika, siddha shravaka, siddha shravaka, siddha vipassi, or devotee, or no matter what. The other day, Guru Hanur gave an amazing quote, right? And he said it in one of his sermons as well. But I sincerely, really, really do enjoy this. It's a very good quote. He says, at the end of the game, what? At the end of the game, the king and the pawn end up in the same box. At the end of the game, the king and the pawn end up in the same box. Now, if you really think about this, that is such a strong quote. Such a strong one. Because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you think you are. At the end of the day, whether you're a Sila Shravaka, Sila Shravaka, whether you're a devotee, whether you're a monk, or whether you're Anagarika, Anagarika. At the end of the day, you end up in the same box. At the end of the day, you end up in the same box. Only on the chessboard does the king have its important role. It has to be protected by its by the bishops, the rookies, the knights, and all the other pieces. The queen and whatnot. But, and normally, the pawns are the ones that you sacrifice, right? They only go one step forward, they attack sideways, and these are the sacrifices that you make. Because why? They're not important, right? But at the end of the game, whether you are very important as the king or the queen or the rookie, bishop, knight, etc., 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 or a pawn, you end up in the same box. Ladies and gentlemen, if we end up in the same box, anyway, right? The game, when you have a chess set, how you play it, you play with the same players over and over and over again. So what should the chess pieces do? Stop playing the game. The chess pieces have to stop playing the game. If they stop playing the game, they will no longer fall back into the box. They will no longer fall back into the box. Whether you're a king, whether you're a pawn, whether you're the bishop or the knight or the one that goes diagonal, the horse one that goes round, no matter which one you are, if you escape the game, you no longer come back to the board. That's the thing. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of being in a hospital? Being in a hospital for hiding everything. This is why, in a discourse that the Buddha had given, the first thing he told the monks, or anyone practicing the path basically, because why? Monkhood is what? A mindset. Vevan niham hi ajubhagatoti pabhritite na binnam pachavikitabham. To be see-through. Something, am I see-through? It's a question that you should always ask yourself. Can my noble associations help me take another step forward? To go further and further. And the question is, are you surrounded by noble association? You could be in an oasis, but surrounded by dirt. Can't you? You could be in paradise, but surrounded by your own thoughts. Yeah, sorry, your own demons. So to ask yourself, even though you are in the hospital, are you surrounded by doctors? If so, great. If not, surround yourself. Surround yourself with as many doctors as you possibly can. Many mind doctors, as many as you possibly can. Because remember, pay any price. To be in the association of extraordinary people. Now, this is advice that my teacher had given me. Try to associate the extraordinary. It's hard, I know. It is extremely difficult. Just try to imagine trying to associate Guru Har. It's amazing. As well as it's amazing, it's also very difficult. So pay any price, make any sacrifice you possibly can. to be in the association of extraordinary people, be in the association of all these mind doctors. Now, that's not saying, you know, that's saying the people that you find to be your noble companions, surround yourself with them, be with them, be a noble association to yourself as well, and to the people around. So you are both the doctor and the patient. If you don't do this, well, again, you have another thousands of, many millions of eons. Long of a journey. That's the thing. We are extremely fortunate to be among such great people. Use it. Use it to the maximum you possibly can. Use it to the maximum you possibly can. If not, oh. It's your choice. It's your choice. Color your life. Something again that my teachers will always tell me is that I can only guide you, but I can't make you walk. And only yesterday, when I had my Guru Hamu yesterday, my teachers meeting yesterday, it really hit home. They can only guide. That's like them, like, you know, on a runway they have lights on the two sides to make sure the plane lands in the right area. They can place the lights. They can clean the roads. They can make it perfect. But they can't make you walk. They can only guide. Once you start walking, they can guide you more and more. But if you don't walk, then their guidance is a waste. You're wasting their guidance. Wasting their time and effort as well. Time and effort they could have spent elsewhere. Because whenever you think about it, imagine you're the teacher. And you're talking to a student. And imagine you yourself as a student here. If you tell your student to do something, they don't do it. Do you think you'll tell the student again? Maybe twice. Three times? After that? Would you tell yourself the same thing four times? So if a teacher does another five times, how great of a teacher that is. But remember, it's limited. Remember, if you're living in an expensive hotel, your money will run out. You're taking and taking and taking. The money will run out. The merit money will run out. So, practice. Practice and practice and practice and practice. Use your teachers, use your environment, because you're in the best place ever. To attain Nibbana. It's entirely your choice. It's entirely your choice. Right, and we have seemingly come to the end of today's session as well. So as your task for this week, don't worry, I give everyone tasks. Whether you do it or not, I'll give the tasks. Because one day you'll do it. No, I know. You all do everything your teacher says to the maximum you possibly can. And that makes you all so great, so amazing. So what can I do? Help one bit more. Just a tiny bit more. Okay, so your task this week is that I would like you to really to look, and so you remember the triangles? There could be triangles, but yeah, we can't do what? Feel it. Because the causes haven't aligned for what? the core doesn't have an aligned four. You just see a triangle. But in the external world, who knows? There could be a movie playing right now. Can you see it? No. But if you were to actually, like, when someone's actually watching something on TV, if you were to escape out from the mind and look at it in the external world sense, it would pretty much be someone sat down looking at a black screen. Right? Because color is what? Not? Yeah. So anyway, your task is, right? Don't worry, I will remember. Your task is I would like you to think about that. Where is the triangle? Where is the leaf? Where is the pen? Where is it? Now you can. I know immediately when I say where it is, the first thing that comes to your head is, oh, of course, it's in the mind. It's a mental perception. I understand, but do you know that, or do you comprehend that? So when you look at this, does the first thing come in that this is here, or a feeling in your mind? If you feel, the moment you see this, if you feel that this is a feeling in the mind, perfect. But if you see me writing with a pen on the board, that means there's still something there. You still think that there's a pen here, a leaf here, and there are triangles on the TV. Right. So your task is to ask yourselves, right? You have a week to ask yourselves to do so much. Where are these? And to try to put it into your day-to-day life. Remember, you don't need to know science here. A lot of children have asked me, and a lot of adults as well, children, adults alike. I don't know science. How can I do this? How can I do that? There's no science here. All you have to understand is cause and effect. That's it. Full stop. You understand that, and that's it. Full stop. All you have to understand is anicca. This is all I'm trying to explain anicca here. That's all we have to do. Okay. Let's bring this session to an end. And before that, let's take a moment to transfer our merits and conclude. Let's take a few moments to transfer the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha, and passed it down through a generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, who is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend the Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all the chief prelates of the chapters, who have dedicated their lives to noble paths and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Gurus and Nansi, as well as the monks resident at this monastery, as well as the Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits and express our gratitude to those who make great efforts to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be thereby transliterating sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them be born in the world of pain, may they redeem themselves and be born in the bliss of pain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious paths, and attain a supreme bliss in Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to that we've acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass in their house and then extend their well wishes. May the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sorting more and transferring my merits that we require to our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, to all those who helped us, supported us, assisted us in shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they prosper and may they be healed in physical and mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. As always, in moment transfer merits to devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primary and sacred devas, whereas new ones, gods and deities, who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. As always, in moment transfer merits to our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble foot path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also sing Manchasa merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey to Sansara. Let's also sing Manchasa merits to all those lost who have, to the army as well as the police force as well as Let's also sing Manchasa merits to all the members of the armed force as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those lost lives in the war be their friend or foe. Rejoice in the merits acquired today. Let's all sing one chance of merits to all those who lost their lives in natural calamities, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics. Reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey in Sansara. May the power of the merits, if any have been born in the world of flame, may they redeem themselves and be born in the world of flame. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may through all the power and blessings, all the merits acquired the other day, we have been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arhat Nuances, Arhat Minuances, in this blessed land. And finally, may through all the power of all the merits required for the day, you and I and everyone who have helped make this program a success become an Arhat Nuanse or an Arhat Minuanse in this very life in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessing of Chibutim be with you all. The Mahasangha now transfer their blessings to you.
Raga ginnen midetnva, dvesha ginnen midetnva, moha ginnen midetnva, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva, mamada siyalu loka, siyalu satnvayo, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva, nibbhana parama sukhayin, sukita taravetnva. Raga gini niveva, dvesha gini niveva, moha gini niveva, nivan sapa labeva, nivan sapa labeva, nivan sapa labeva. Tunrange suvasinanta mahagunin pelin siloka sil satyam nibbhana pamasukin suvitaravetva. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.